aren't they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
LFG! The Niners beat the Cowboys, and I'm not wasting any time, Dibs. I'm not even wasting 2 seconds on this. Hey, Cowboy Sal, wherever you are,
oh boy,
you better get the number right.
We're drinking.
888-957-9570. We are right here. We're waiting for an address. We're waiting for directions. We're waiting for exactly how many hours we're allowed to sit there, and what is the max? Not the two-drink minimum. We want the maximum, because we are drinking free in San Mateo. Take that, hated ones, Dallas Cowboys. Eat it. Eat it. There.
And this is all off of last week where we had a listener make a bet with us, and it was drinks at a bar in San Mateo. You and I took the Niners. This caller took the Cowboys. We win. He loses. We're thirsty. He pays. And that is the payoff of exactly what you're talking about.
All right. So just wanted to get that off my chest. Nice. And now we can do a nice, fun radio show and welcome everybody in. Not everybody who calls is going to have to give us drinks. Just you, Sal. But the rest of you out there, 888-957-9570. How did this one make you feel? Because it was a classic sort of mixed emotions kind of a thing. No doubt about it. The lead emotion is that the 49ers won. It's a victory Monday. You beat the Cowboys. And so if we're just going to make it about 5:30 to 8:30 last night, we good round here. We good round here. But it's hard not to project where they're going next and also what we saw last. That's not good enough. That's not going to be good enough to have a special year.
But it doesn't have to be good enough right now. It just has to be good enough in 13 days when they come out of the bye against a Tampa team, and they're going to have an 8-day rest advantage against a team that is down two wide receivers.
And so also,
you would figure that, like, last night will be good enough then, and then you have Seattle coming off a bye, and we don't know if that will be good enough then. But the beauty of this whole thing is it really is week to week, and last night felt like an 8-week season in a nutshell, because you were kind of okay in the first half. The defense was good. The offense couldn't really cash in. The third quarter was, oh my God, you're the best team in the history of football. And then the fourth quarter was, hold on, Bessie, hold on for dear life, because this thing is about to get really, really uncomfortable. So that four quarters last night felt like 8 weeks into a nutshell.
Kyle Shanahan on his conference call today, or potentially this was last night. I don't think anybody cares. This is Kyle Shanahan. This was last night on the podium with regard to the win.
You know, you always go into a season, you expect to win them all. So you're not exactly where you want to be. But going into this game, we knew this was a big win. You know, we didn't want to be 3-5 going into the bye week, having your backs against the wall like that. Getting that win was huge. Being 4-4, not at all the record that we wanted when we set out, but when you look at our division and everything, feeling a real good spot, especially finishing in here with the win. Hopefully we can take some time off, rest a little bit, get a couple guys back hopefully, and come back and string some wins together here in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, okay, 2 weeks off, get healthy. You're going to get Juwan Jennings. Maybe Debo will be his normal self. You might have Christian McCaffrey when this team comes back around. And Dre Greenlaw might just be another week or two or three away. And yes, I do think the 49ers will be active on the trade market, and I'm betting that there will be at least one other new 49er by the time this team plays again. So with that projection, which is the positive one, how would you answer this? If we make this a tale of two halves, which one was the real 49ers?
Both. I mean, I could say the second half and, you know, say, yeah, that's the team. The third quarter, that's the team. You know, Brock Purdy in the offense, three straight touchdowns and 21-0. And I think Dallas had 16 or 14 yards in the quarter. That's it. That's the team. But honestly, both are the team. The first half, where it feels like it's field goals in the air, and yeah, field goals, great. The defense was good, and they didn't really break. They bent, but they didn't break. They were fine in the first half. Second half, third quarter, amazing. Fourth quarter is like a lot of fourth quarters have been. So if I had to pick between which team in just a half they are, it's the second half, which is the offense has the potential, no matter who they have, to be really, really explosive. Your tight end is going to the Hall of Fame. Your wide back, even though he has pneumonia and bad ribs and a bad shoulder and a bad knee and bum ankle and the toe hurts and whatever it happens to Debo, the dude makes plays, and he made some big plays last night. Your rookie first-round receiver looks to be real enough.
Yeah, I like him.
Your running back, who is RB whatever, 6 or 7,
yeah,
he is so fast and so good and so tough. And, you know, when Shanahan is humming like that, this offense is amazing. And then the fourth quarter happened, which is you've got Keystone Cops, you've got DBs running into each other, you're rushing four, boring, and CeeDee Lamb is open on every single play. So for me, the second half is exactly who you are. You are at times phenomenal and at times head-scratchingly bad.
It's kind of funny, especially if you've ever picked up a golf club in your life. This is the way I think the human psyche works, which is you think of yourself as the best version of yourself all the time. So you'll slice one into the woods and you'll go, hold on a second, hold on, the breakfast ball. And then you'll hit it down the middle, and you're like, that's me.
Yep.
No, you're right. They're both you.
Exactly.
They're both you. And you got to deal with that so that you can be that second person more consistently. No one's asking for perfection all the time, okay? But it's funny that you sort of talked about the two tales of even just the second half.
Yeah.
I think there's a characteristic in the first half that I really want to highlight. Y'all got to stop committing so many penalties.
You think?
Okay, because the first half, somehow, this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing this, and this is just, you know, the voices out there in the trees. But I'm hearing that 6 points is not good enough in the first half. Well, right. Do you know how many points they had taken off the board in the first half? I mean, there was A, an actual touchdown.
Yep.
And then B, there were at least two other field-flipping plays that would have changed. The 49ers would have clearly been ahead. And potentially by double digits. And I'm not blaming anyone but them for that. You've got to button the damn thing up.
Yep.
Because when you look at the highlights of those plays, Eric Saubert and the rest of you, yes, you're guilty.
He held three times.
Stop.
Yep.
Stop it. You commit penalties when you don't have confidence that you are the best. But, like, if you guys truly believe what you say you believe, well, we've been the best team in the league for a long time now, then let your guys cook. Let them cook. Beat people straight up. And that's what Kyle was upset about at halftime when he did the halftime interview. Oh, my gosh, Kyle, you've only got 6 points. He's like, yeah, of course we've only got 6 points. Every time we got a big play, somebody's holding somebody.
Exactly.
Clean it up, please. Because that, unfortunately, is part of you, too.
Exactly.
Because they do it almost every week.
Well, I'm looking at the game log that I did today. 3rd-and-1 opening drive. You had that false start where Conley and Pearsall were confused about who was supposed to go where, and they're openly talking to each other, and they're like, you go up, you go back, oh, you go up, God, you go back. Brock snaps it. Yeah, that's a false start, dude. The two of you are chatting, trying to figure out what's going on. That drive ends in a field goal because Juice held on 2nd-and-5. You already mentioned the Debo 67-yard touchdown, which was awesome, and as we talk about Brock's performance in the first half, that throw was perfection.
Yep.
In stride, Debo, yak, to the house. Uh-oh, but wait, we got a penalty. Saubert, and he did hold at least twice on the play.
Sure did.
He held again, and then the other drive where Kittle had the hold on 1st-and-10. So then now it's 1st-and-20, and you run that little screen to Debo, and boop, He drops it, a throw that was right to him, and you had Juszczyk in front, you had Kittle in front, and Pearsall was in front.
Totally.
That one would have been a big play,
yep.
And that's a Debo drop, and then that one ends because of the penalty again, first and 20. So you're so right about that first half. If you're Kyle, you're thinking, the plays I called, we're up 24-10 right now.
Well, I thought, like, I'd love to give Kyle credit for play calling last night, but I'm going to revert back to my point last week. Play calling was easy last night. That team's awful.
Yeah, they struggle a little
bit. They're awful. And it's not fully their fault. They're injured, too. Their two pass rushers are out. Would their defense be different if those guys were in? Maybe. I'd argue probably even. But with what the Niners were going against, like, that was Brock Purdy's cleanest pocket all year. All year. That defense is not guarding anyone. So did Kyle have a good game plan? Yeah, I think he did. Was it executed well? Not at times. Not in the first half. But it's also while I'll give him a little bit of a nod on, let's go for it on fourth and three, or let's even throw the ball late in the game when we maybe intuitively should be running. Because, my God, if you wanted a five-yard pass over the middle, it was there on every play. Every single play. And Brock missed Debo in the first half on the fourth and three. Debo could have caught it, didn't. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I look at it, I'm super, super relieved that they won that football game and that for enough of it, they look like a dominant team over a team that I think just does not have a whole lot to offer. But there are buts. There are big buts,
yeah.
In this one, which is, as you just said, it's the execution in the first half, and then the letting them back in the way you did in the fourth quarter. Those things are head scratching and frustrating.
Well, those are losing scenarios when you get into deeper situations and games against the likes of Green Bay and Buffalo and Detroit, which are three of your late November and early mid December opponents. So you get into that stretch, and those teams are probably going to be playoff teams. Green Bay, Buffalo, Detroit, those are kind of playoff games for you. And when you make these mistakes, when you play that lackluster on defense and you choose to pass the ball, and that the big one for me is second and three. So you come out, you're trying to kill the clock, and you want to throw it, and Brock doesn't throw it. He scrambles for seven. All right, they use their timeout, their first one, second and three. Now you go ahead and run the ball. Go ahead and run it or even QB sneak it. They have not stopped the QB sneak all day.
Yeah.
Instead, he sits back to throw it, and Garendo blows the blitz pickup. And imagine that, a rookie running back who hasn't had to pick up a blitz much this year. It's been Mason. It's been Juszczyk. It's been other people. And so he blows it, and Purdy is very fortunate to not cough that thing up, and then we're having a different conversation today.
Well, and so the extension of that question that we're kind of tossing around, which of these two teams is the real 49ers, the first half or the second half, I think could also be thrown out this way. When you watch that game last night, and you get the result that you do, does it make you optimistic or pessimistic for the second half of the season? And the only reason I'm going to argue optimism, well, I guess maybe two reasons. One of them is that's just the way my flipping brain works, okay? But the other reason is you do start to, you see flashes of the team that you know this group can be. And in theory, when they come back, you will be injecting rest. You'll be injecting the offensive player of the year. You'll be injecting another veteran wide receiver and potentially your second best linebacker. And if you inject all of those things into this team, and I do think maybe an acquisition in the run stopping sort of area of the field, if you inject all of that into this team, then yes, I think the 49ers will at least host one playoff game. I do.
Well, that's, to me, the only way they're getting in is if they win the division. So if you win the division, you host a playoff game. even if you're the four seed.
888-957-9570. You watched the game last night. Did it make you feel optimistic or pessimistic about the second half of the year? We'll take your phone call. Steve Kerr is going to join us at 5. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. And wherever you are, Sal, we're coming for you.
Let's go.
Willard and Dibs.
Third and six, and Kirby throwing to Debo. Brings it in. Across midfield. Stays on his feet. Samuel to the 37-yard line. Man coverage. Debo got the better of it.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Mike Tirico. NBC.
He's good. He's really good.
He's fantastic.
It's a good broadcast. He's fantastic. I liked it across the board.
Yep. I tell you what, though. What was it that felt different about this one than when the Cowboys came here for Sunday Night Football last year? Other than the final score, I get that the Niners won that one by 32 points. It felt bigger last year. And maybe that's just their records. Coming into the whole thing, you know, this was 3-3 versus 3-4. But for me, and again, this does sort of shade the way I look at this football game last night. Last year, there was a healthy fear that the 49ers would lose. This year, there was maybe an unhealthy expectation that they would win. I just don't think the Cowboys are a very good football team.
Fair.
I just don't.
Last year it was 4-0 against 3-1.
Yep.
And, you know, it felt a little bit more like a playoff preview, and they had just played in the playoffs, I think, the year before, right? In a slugfest.
Correct.
In Dallas?
19-12. Well, no, that would have been the 19-12 win here. Brock Purdy's second playoff game.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would have been, just about 8-9 months before. And so that one felt like it was a tight affair, and it's a rematch, and, you know, the Niners are undefeated, but here comes Dallas and all the rest of it. Last night felt like you should win, and even, you know, fade the Dibber, fade the Dibber.
Oh,
Dibber got one right.
Congrats.
There you go. And I got a Monday night lock for you coming up later in the show.
Because
I'm in a giving mood. And
what's the number in this one tonight? Is the Steelers up by like 6? See, the Steelers by about 6.
I'll check. Give me a sec.
Yeah, check the FanDuel thingamabob and let us know.
Well, the pick is already in.
I know
no
it's already
the number
in, but,
is,
I don't know. I don't know the pick, and I don't even know the number because this is
Steelers
one.
Steelers by 6.
Yeah, it is. It's Steelers by 6. Okay. You know how it goes when you get to Monday Night Football. There's two things that can happen. Either it's like, ooh, that's a matchup I want to watch.
Right.
Or it's, ooh.
Who the hell's playing?
No, I need 11. I need 11 points from George Pickens.
God.
You know what I mean? I don't have either of those tonight. So tonight is a reconnect with your family night.
Nice.
Like, it'll be on. I'm not saying it won't be on. But, like, if someone talks to me tonight, I'll listen. You know what I mean?
Fair.
The eye contact, the whole freaking thing, Dibs.
Yeah.
We're going to look at people, listen to them. If somebody needs a favor in their bedroom, like if you need me to, like, kill a spider or, like, reach something at the top shelf, tonight's the night. Giants, I can't watch the New York Giants.
The New York football Giants.
What a sad sack football team.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, they are, yet, you know, you look at where they currently sit, and this probably a must-win for the Giants if we want to get into must-wins.
Well,
but
no, must-wins only count if you actually have, like, designs on the season.
Sure. If you're Daniel Jones, you want to keep your gig, you probably want to win this game.
Well,
but
he ain't keeping that gig.
Yeah.
I think that's been decided.
And that was the beauty of last night for me, because you talk about, like, tonight you can reconnect with the family. Last night, Niner game with my father-in-law in the house having dinner.
And yeah,
I was able to just, you know, watch the game and the bath and all the things that I normally do. They were taken off my plate because it was a work night for me. So
out of bed.
I was kind of quietly hoping for overtime, to be honest.
I got to send you the picture of what I set up last night. Like, it was pretty great. It was pretty great.
Nice. The two screens and your little radio thing.
Two screens. set the show up. I stole my kid's desk, and that felt good.
Wow.
He was happy to lend it to me. But yeah, you set up the laptop, the microphone, some drinks, some snacks, two flat screens, two games inside my living room.
Nice.
It was really fun. I wanted two wins. The Warriors kind of,
Well.
And then Steph limps off. Yeah, a little damper on the whole thing.
A little bit of a bummer, yeah. But, and you know, the Warrior game, and we'll get into it with Steve Kerr coming up at the top of the hour, but age-old question of can the Warriors get a big because Zubats.
Just
so much Zubats.
Every rebound.
Every dunk.
Every rebound. Yeah. It's just like the Warriors, I do. Maybe this is an oversimplification sensation.
Oh.
But when you look at the Warriors and people are like, you know, they do this well, do they do that well? I just think they need to be taller. That's all.
Nice.
That's it. I don't care what your, you know, defense, offense, X's and O's, Kuminga threes. They need to be taller. I don't know how they're going to deal with that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, somebody needs to grow.
Yeah.
Guess who's on the line?
Tell me.
It's Cowboy Sal.
Let's go, Cowboy Sal. And where's the credit card?
Well, I'm going to give Cowboy Sal a really, really big slice of credit here because he called and he called fast, and this is called facing the music. So Cowboy Sal in San Mateo right here live on Willett and Dibbs. As we expected, as was promised, Sal, thank you for calling. How are you?
No problem. How you guys doing?
We're great, man.
Better now.
Victory Monday.
Yeah. You know, I a couple of my prediction was wrong, but Parsons and the guys I thought were going to play didn't play, but you guys definitely pulled it off. But Shanahan almost blew it. I thought he was going to give us the game again, but he didn't. I'm eating humble pie.
Shanahan almost blew it. You could put it that way.
Why would you run the ball on that down? Throw the ball on the sack that we got. I'm like, oh my God, CNN's going to give us a chance. He did, but you know, we have a $60 million quarterback that's not worth $60 million. You guys will be there next year when you pay Noodle Arm Purdy.
Sal, laugh now, but
pay much later, Sal.
Sal, you're good at this, but you're not great at it. You're humble pie. You're taking shots while you're eating humble pie over here.
I'm gonna be taking shots. Yeah, Sal.
Well, you guys let me know the date and time, and you know, Bucky's is my drinks are on me for 3 hours or for you two.
3 hours. Is that the deal?
3 hours.
And it's just
that's
us two.
That's the bet.
We can't bring our ladies,
yeah,
right?
Or you guys should do your show there. Do one of those shows. Do your show at Bucky's.
Wow.
There's a huge room in the back. You're more than welcome.
Ask Matt. Hey, Grandy, ask Matt when he comes in next time if we're allowed to get totally wasted in the middle of a show. All right. Well, that's for us to talk out, Sal. We'll figure that out. But did you say it's just us? We can't bring our ladies?
You can bring your ladies. You definitely can bring your ladies.
All right. How about our kids?
My kids are drinking.
If that's the way you ride.
Unfortunately, it's not the way I ride. Sometimes it's the way they ride. But anyway, Sal, you're a good sport. And it's Bucky's in San Mateo, and you make sure our people over there have your number, okay?
Oh, they do.
Beautiful. Sal, thank you for facing the music.
Guys.
All right. Thanks, Sal. Your Cowboys are terrible.
Yeah.
They are.
They're not terrible.
They're terrible.
There are teams that are terrible. I think you're being overdramatic. They're not good. They are probably a tiny level below mediocre. Because in the NFL, how many good teams are there?
Well, all right.
Four?
If you want me to rephrase in an intricate manner, I will. When I think...
They're not terrible.
Well, but neither are the Niners, and people will say that.
The Niners aren't terrible. No, Niners are mediocre.
No, but there's probably a text I can find in here where it's like, this team sucks. Here's what I mean by that. All of these comments are put up against expectations. They're put up against branding. They're put up against what maybe you should be. And I'm not going to hold the New York Giants or the Cleveland Browns or the Tennessee Titans to the same standard that I hold the Dallas Cowboys. It's Dallas freaking Cowboys. Your owner's the most powerful man in the sport. He has a stadium named His World. Is this the most expensive? Give me the Forbes list. What's the most valuable franchise in all of sports?
I think it's the Cowboys.
Is it maybe
in America?
Them? I don't know. Yankees, Lakers, Warriors are in there. Anyway, whatever it is. You're the Dallas freaking Cowboys, and you won the division last year, and you broke off your quarterback $60 million, and you broke off your wide receiver $32 million, and you addressed nothing else. And so, yes, you're hurt, you're all of those things, but when put up against what I think people thought they were going to be, I think the Cowboys are woefully short of what people thought they were going to be or should be.
Yes, but I will add that it is early still. It's not super early. We're getting close to the middle of the year, and so, you know, Dallas can still turn it around and be a playoff team. I wouldn't bet on it because I do think that they've got a lot of flaws, even beyond the injury issues. They can't run the ball, and they can't stop the run. And we know football, historically, you have to be able to do both if you're going to be great, and you should be able to do one if you're going to be good. If you can't do either, you're in a lot of trouble, unless you have a quarterback who is simply amazing, and they don't. And they have one receiver who is completely uncoverable. He is a fantastic receiver. Their tight end's really good, and when healthy, they have a good pass rush, but they're not healthy. So Dallas is in a situation where they're heading more down the road of dysfunction, fire the coach, do something about the roster, the owner. You can't do anything about the owner, but I think the coach is going to be the big pivot point for this team if they continue to slide.
I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make it to Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
there was a piece of me that thought about, you know how they, like, I think USC made this famous by, was it Kiffin that they fired, like, right on the tarmac or whatever
exactly.
It was? Like, yeah, Lucas knows.
USC guy.
If we ever want Lucas to listen to the show, we just go, USC, fight on. And then he's like, here I am. So anyway, yeah.
We can get to Caleb Williams, too, some point.
Well, what did Caleb do wrong?
He wasn't very good. I mean,
that wasn't very bad either.
Yeah, that game was just an absolute snooze fest until the end.
You saw it?
It was 12-7 for the majority of the game.
Understood, but by the same token, like, just because something is a little bit of a slugfest, to me, does not make it boring. Like, look, neither of these kids turned the ball over. They found the sledding a little bit tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was kind of a damp, dark, remember, that was a night game out there. Not making excuses for the guys. It just was one of those games where it turned into a little bit of a rock fight. But
he threw for a .131.
I understand, but he didn't turn
10 for 24.
Didn't turn the ball over.
Fine.
You know what I mean? Washington's good. That's a good football team.
Sure.
What it went? Now, why?
Their defense is fine.
Why are you patting him on the head?
Because I was watching a lot of that game, having DJ Moore on my fantasy team, and Caleb Williams is not a very good quarterback.
Now we get to the bottom of it.
He completed 10 passes in a four-quarter football game.
Understood.
I just thought that Caleb Williams was very unimpressive.
Okay.
Now, Jaden Daniels, a little bit better, but he got bailed out by Chicago having no ability to defend a Hail Mary.
I think that this year's QB class is the QB class that people thought the Trey Lance year was going to be, but wasn't. Like, right now, we've got three of the five first-rounders. We're watching three of them play. Jaden Daniels has impressed everybody. He's going to be the rookie of the year. Caleb Williams is getting better fast on a week-in and week-out basis. And so, get ready, Grandy.
Yeah.
So's Bo. Bo Nix is starting to actually look like a real player. And J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix, we haven't seen yet.
Drake May knocked out.
Well, I forgot about Drake
injury.
May.
Injury.
Oh, no, I don't think he looked. He has not done anything to convict himself so far. You know, he didn't play until about 3 weeks ago. And so it's very early on him, but there's some interesting signs with him. He's got nothing around him.
Yet they
absolutely
had enough to
nothing.
beat the Jets,
they
which
did.
Is hilarious.
It's hysterical.
I mean,
so anyway,
Robert Sala is up in Green Bay just cackling,
laughing,
eating cheese by the pound, and just laughing at that Schmidt show going on in New York.
I think everybody now understands what happened in New York.
Right.
They committed everything to somebody who's not what he used to be and never will be again.
Well, and somebody who is not a real leader of men.
I agree with you.
And, you know, look at what Devontae's done in the two games he's been there. Next to nothing.
I don't even has he gotten to 100 yards yet?
I'd have to look.
Two games total. I don't think he has.
Right.
I think he's right around 90 yards for two
games.
Anyway,
I didn't mean to divert this into big-time NFL talk, but the whole idea about Dallas being terrible, they're not great, but there are so many other more broken situations, I think. And so, yeah, do you want to take that Niner win with a grain of salt, knowing that they beat a team that isn't very good, I actually look at it the way you do, as, you know, the glass is more than half full. You're 4-4 at the bye. You've had a lot of injuries, and you're going to get some help after the bye. Your schedule gets tougher. Your division is incredibly weak. I look at their forecast for being a playoff team as very, very bright. And the things that have been broken or have been bad with this team, I think that some of them are fixable. And I think in general, if you do get healthy, this team can still be a player in December and January.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, but it is funny how the goalposts have sort of moved on the expectations for the 49ers, because if I had come in here 6 or 7 weeks ago and said, I think they can be a playoff team, I'd have gotten laughed out of this room.
The bar would be low at that point.
It was Super Bowl or bust. Yep. Nobody cares about winning the NFC West and being a playoff team. And now we do. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. We should. We should, because we are still, let's see, count it up. It's October, November, December, January. We are still 3.5 months away from the Super Bowl. So, get in. See where you're at. Mike Holmgren told us a handful of weeks ago, this is all injuries. And I can't wait to find out if that's true. I can't wait to find out if that's true. And some of them, like Brandon Ayuk, aren't coming back. But if you've got McCaffrey, if you get Jennings, if you get Greenlaw, if all those things happen, if you acquire somebody, could this, in theory, be a completely different football team in a month, month and a half? I think it's possible. It's possible. The downside is it's going to have to be. I'm thrilled they won, but we can all agree, I would hope, that ain't going to be good enough. That's not going to win in January.
Probably not.
What we saw last night.
Yeah, when you face a team that's really, really good, and you're going to have probably three of those games in the second half. Green Bay is a good team. Buffalo and Detroit. Tampa Bay will be interesting because they're not what they were 3 weeks ago, and you'll be coming off a bye. That, for me, feels like one that you absolutely should get. I don't know what the look-ahead line is now, but you're probably going to be favored by almost a touchdown by the time you get there at Tampa Bay, but those other games will be tough.
That feels hot. You think they'll be favored by a touchdown on the road?
Yeah, coming off a bye. Oh. Depending on what Tampa does next week, I would imagine that, you know, Tampa Bay is in a tough spot right now.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find that one. Let's go back out to the phones. 888-957-9570. You watched that game yesterday. Did it make you feel more optimistic or pessimistic about the second half of the year? I hope I'm getting this somewhat right. Is it Teruke and El Cerrito? Did I get that right?
Close enough. It's Teruku.
Teruku. Okay. What's up, my man? Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. I've been at work, and we had these massive flat TV screens, so we've been watching the NFL pretty much all weekend. I'm a big Ravens fan, and it kind of hurt me that weekend.
We got you. I did not follow what you're saying. You said you're a big Ravens fan, and then what?
Yeah, watching that game. It made me hopeful about the later on season, but I was sad to see them lose to the Browns.
Yeah, that was an eye-opener. And I don't know if this and thanks so much for the call. I don't know, does this sort of, when you see stuff like that, the Baltimore Ravens, we think are one of the best teams in the NFL, they've got losses this year to the Browns and the Raiders. Does that make you give your favorite team, whoever it is, like a little bit more space, slack,
yeah,
leeway?
Grace. It should.
It should.
Yeah. And then you look at the Chiefs, who, again, right, won a game. So now they're 7-0, and they beat a Raider team that, honestly, for a lot of that game, they were as good, if not better, than the Chiefs. But then they continued to find a way to blow it from clock management and questionable play calling and the rest of it. And so the Chiefs somehow win again. But yes, when you look at some of those games yesterday, and especially the Ravens, where the Ravens lose that game to the Browns, they had no business losing to Cleveland and a backup quarterback, yet they did. And it just reminds you that in the NFL especially, it's such a week-to-week thing. So when the Niners blow leads against the Rams and the Cardinals, yes, it's bad. And right now the Niners should be 6-2, and they're not. And that's unfortunate. But, you know, next game they have against Tampa Bay, something like this could happen, but that doesn't mean it's the end of the year.
No, it's obviously not the end of the year. But, I mean, I'll also say this. Sometimes I look at a team, and this is true about the Washington Commanders, okay? The way they won that football game yesterday, sometimes you look at a team and you go, okay, you're good, and then you've also just got it going, man. You're getting breaks. You're getting breaks here and there. You get a close win here, you get a close win there, you get a Hail Mary, and that changes your season. Instead of going 9-8 or 10-7, now you're going 12-5 or something like that. You can look at what the Commanders, the rest of their schedule, and where they sit right now, that's a double-digit win team. They clearly are. I'm not saying they've clinched the division at all, but they're going to win double-digit games if they're provided with health because of the way things have fallen for them so far. Those breaks are a piece of it, and there is a team in the NFC West that is starting to scare me a little bit on that front. Go ahead and look at what the Arizona Cardinals have done so far this year.
The Rams.
Well, the Rams are interesting because we now saw them with their receivers, and they suddenly looked better. But I don't think the Rams are necessarily going to sustain. I don't know why Cooper Kupp would now suddenly stay healthy the rest of the year. He seems to never stay healthy, but we'll see. I still don't think they've got a great defense. But the Cardinals have no business being 4-4. Look at they're finishing games with a field goal at the buzzer every week. They have that ridiculous one-point win against the Niners, which, I don't know, was that well-earned? Whatever. Point is, they're a team that's only at 500, and almost all of their wins have needed a lot of stuff to fall their way in the third and fourth quarter. You can give them credit for that, for making the plays. That's totally fair. But we're acting like if the Niners just come out and do okay in the second half, they're going to run away with this division. Probably, but these other teams, they've got a couple things going their way, kind of like the opposite of what the Niners have right now.
Right, and I don't think there's any running away with this division for anybody, and you still have to go out and beat Arizona and the Rams head-to-head, who you've already lost to, and you have to beat Seattle, who will be coming off a bye. So even if you look at the three divisional games that the Niners have remaining of their nine games, none of them are going to be easy, and you've got a rest discrepancy against Seattle that's going to make that game more difficult than it otherwise would be. So I think whoever gets to 11 wins wins this division. 10-7 probably will be enough through a tiebreaker. And if the Niners get to 10-7, that would mean they go 6-3 the rest of the way. You would hope that that would include wins over their divisional opponents so that they would win the tiebreaker.
888-957-9570. We're taking your calls on a Victory Monday all afternoon long, especially and at least until Steve Kerr joins the show coming up in exactly 2 hours. So we can play around with that. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That said, there's one other thing that we do want to dive into for a short period of time, and we'll play it for you coming up next. This did not happen in the Niner locker room last night. This happened in the visiting locker room. And I, for one, am incredibly curious sort of whose side our listeners would be on. There was a Cowboy player that instead of heading to the locker room, he decided to go start a conversation with a media member. It was all caught on audio tape. We'll play that for you. And then you can weigh in on where you sit. 888-957-9570. So that's around the corner. This is Willard and Dibbs.